Okay, good evening. So I want to finish off last week's discussion about the hierarchy of trying to figure out when you have two indoor rooms, which one goes into the other, just like one or two more details, and then I guess move on to a couple of other things in Siman Reish Pei Tes is the Siman that we're in, and even found a psak from Rav Chaim Kanievsky to throw in for tonight. So first, with regards to the order, so we talked about last week that there seems to be five levels that the poskim work with. The first one is pretty clear. Everybody seems to agree to. But then after that, it becomes a machlokas. I think actually every level of it becomes a machlokas which way we paskin. So the number one thing is if you're going from outside to inside, so that's always going to be the way the mezuzah is. Probably even if it is a even if it's an exit door, either an exit door where you can only leave, so that would either have no mezuzah or a mezuzah coming in. The only exception would be if that door that goes out, if it goes out into some kind of courtyard or something like that, an enclosed courtyard, so then maybe the mezuzah would be on the way out. So that would be, so that's category number one. So then as we move along, so what's level number two? So level number two is a machlokas. There are the chabadniks, and I scanned around a little bit again today. Level two, the only other thing that the Gemara really mentions with regards to a way of deciphering which side of the door a mezuzah should go on, or which room is considered the room that you're going into as opposed to the room that you're coming out of, the Gemara says is heker tzir. So Heker Tzir is the way that the hinges are, or the way that the actual door, whichever way it's going into, that's going to be considered the door that you're going into. So that could either mean that's the next thing on the list, or that can mean that's the last thing on the list. When all else fails, so then we're going to follow Heker Tzir. So there is a Mesorah amongst the Lubavitchers to paskin like Heker Tzir as like the main thing beyond whichever way is from outside into inside. And so
when the door opens, we're assuming that the door is going towards the innermost room.
Or not. I mean, they're saying that that's the way you decipher. Well, or put it this way, they would say that's the way you decipher which way is the innermost room. Or they would say that's the way you define which room the door is serving. That might actually be a better way of putting it, right? How do you figure out which direction the door is serving? So they would say, well, you follow Heker Tzir, whichever way the door is opening into, which, as we pointed out last week, would mean that the mezuzahs in our main shul would be, in Beth HaMedrash, would go on the right side as you head from the main shul into the hallway, right?
There's that when you have a small room like a bathroom or a closet, or any other room that doesn't have an exit, only door, they typically want to have on the other side of the door, because then, you know, if somebody fainted. Or fell and, you know, needed help, they're actually prevent somebody from opening the door.
Right, correct.
So, the safety,
Correct. So that's why in most public buildings or like shuls or schools, so it will appear that their mezuzahs are all on the wrong side of the door. That's the way it will look, yeah, because you're right, because all the doors are usually exiting classrooms, so you would have the mezuzah on the way out of the classroom. That's the way they would have it. That's their mesorah. However, the rest of the world, and I think literally the rest of the world, assumes that the next level is, what we assume is the next level is a room that has no other way to get into it. So if you have an end room, the example would be the side room in the Horowitz home, or the the sunroom is not the best example, because there are two doors, but I think it is the halacha, right? The sunroom at Congregation Beth HaMedrash behind the base medrash, right? So that, or really any classroom, because there's usually only one door that goes into a classroom, so the mezuzah would be on the right side going into that classroom. So that's level two. There is a bit of a machlokas about that as well, but that's the way we paskin in Shulchan Aruch. Amongst the Rishonim, there seems to be a bit of a dispute about that. And truth is, all of them, we read it a little last week, this whole dispute is really focused on how you read a Mordechai. There are several different ways of reading the Mordechai. In the book Sefer HaMezuzah in the back, he has an essay going through that. But whatever. For the next time, we go through Hilchos Mezuzah. The next number, so then number three, we assume is, and this was that shuv of the Minchas Yitzchak, we follow the flow of traffic, right? The standard flow of traffic. So if example of this, I guess, for a congregation Beth HaMedrash would be that when we move, from all the time that I was there, the main entrance to get to even weekday minyan was through the main doors, right? So you go through the main doors, and then you make a right turn to go into that hallway. And then you either go into the base medrash, or if you want to go pick up a sefer, so then you make a right turn and you go into the library. So therefore, the mezuzah was on the right side going from the hallway into the library. Then a couple of years ago, we switched the entrance, the main entrance for weekday minyan would be to come through that other door in the dining room. So that being the case, the flow of traffic changed from being that door into the dining room, into the hallway, into the base medrash. So at that point, I switched the mezuzah from the right side going from the hallway into the library to the other side from going to the library into the hallway, because that was then following the flow of traffic. Now, there also, one could make a case also that I should have switched another mezuzah as well. And that perhaps was the door from the hallway into the lobby, I don't know, however we call it, the room that has the steps in it going into the large lobby. So right now, I'm pretty sure, the mezuzah goes from that lobby into the house. But if our main entrance during the week was from the dining room, so then maybe we should switch that mezuzah to go on the other side of the door to go from the house into the new building or into the lobby. So I didn't for two reasons. One is because people that are coming to Minyan on a daily basis are not necessarily going into that lobby at all, right? Who says they're going through that door? They're only going through that door if they need to go to the restroom, in which case that door is then just as often as it's used during the week would then be used on Shabbos as well for people going into the shul and going into the house to, either to go to the kids' room or to go to Shal Shudis, which we used to do at the time, things like that. So therefore, I thought it was somewhat of a tie to figure out which is the main direction for that door between the lobby and the house, right? So how do we paskin then in the case of a tie? So then it went to Hecker Tzir, and the Hecker Tzir is going from the lobby into the house. So therefore, I left the mezuzah there from the lobby of the shul into the house, etc. Okay, so that was that's number three. And then number four, I didn't realize this was as big a machlokas as it is, but the number four, the way I learned it from Rabbi Simon originally, is that you go by the chashuv, whichever room is more chashuv, whichever room is more important. Now, how do you define which room is more important? So that's a question which I've never really gotten a great answer to. So is it which room you spend more time in? Or is it which room is, like, more important? And if it's the room that's more important, who gets to decide if it's more important, right? Is the kitchen the most important room? Because that's where maybe one member of the household may consider more important. Or is the dining room more important? Because that's where you greet guests. Or what if the kitchen doesn't have a place to sit?
Yeah. Which had fancier furniture, and nobody was allowed to go there.
Ah, right. Right, very good. Right, so a room like that would...
plastic on it. Like old plastic.
Right, so that's a good question. Another question would be, if you're going to follow based on time, do you follow only hours that you're awake are also hours that you're sleeping, right? Does the bedroom count as the main room because that's where you're spending the most time versus not? So there are some I saw in the Sefer Agrabo Halach, and here I guess we could take a look. I don't even remember which pages I put up, just sort of as a sample of some of the discussion. You could take a look here at the source sheet. So the source sheet page, let's see, what do we got here? Page one is the, right, in terms of figuring out the, you know, for the topic we're on, let's just go to page two quickly. So page two is Iker B'dior, right? Afka shir shnei chadar mishamshim l'dior, im echon mehem mishamish l'dior ikri yoser. That one is used more, yeshom shakoveya lul yamin oso cheder. There are those that assume that you would put it going into that room, af neged heker tzir, even if it's against the heker tzir, meaning that would be level four, and then the heker tzir would then be the tiebreaker, meaning number five, right? So then how do you figure that out? So the truth is that, I think, is the, the next page, he tries finding a couple of makoros for this, meaning, for example, there is a dispute in the laws of Erevin about ikar makom lina or ikar makom pita, that trying to figure out which direction is considered your main base, or what spot is considered your main base, when you need to figure out, for example, your tchum Shabbos, right? So where does your tchum Shabbos start, your 2,000 amos count? Does it start from your where you're eating, or does it start from where you're sleeping, right? And then that machlokas gets transferred over to Hanukkah candles or Shabbos candles. But on the other, is your main spot where you're eating, or is your main spot where you're sleeping? But on the other hand, maybe mezuzah is different because that, you know, mezuzah might go specifically where you're sleeping because of the protection aspect of it. So it's very difficult to find makoros on this. And the truth is, this I didn't realize, but he claims the Agrabo Halacha here. He says that that actually gets bumped down to number five. Because he says, "Ach das rov haposkim sheheker tzir adif." That actually heker tzir is number four on the list, and the more important room is then number five on the list. So, right, if the flow of traffic is then going to be equal, so now you're trying to figure out which is the more important room. So he says you would follow heker tzir first in terms of trying to figure out which is the more important room. Where would that come up? I don't know. Also, I can't think of an example off the top of my head. But he says Heker Tzir would then would play a higher role than just the importance of the room. So if you go to page three, so Rav Moshe has a discussion surrounding this topic. First he tries figuring out number three versus number four. The idea of importance of the room versus the direction, the flow of traffic, we're on page three. So on the bottom of the right side, right, he says, "Bepetach shebein chadarim penimius azlina dafka basa rov halichos." We follow the rov halichos, and right after we figure out what the heker tzir is, that's what he talked about in number three. By the way, the there's a diuk. I didn't point this out last time, I think the Shach points this out within Rashi, that when in Rashi's definition of Heker Tzir, Rashi uses the language of Suffolk. I forgot exactly what it was, but Rashi so when you can't figure out which way to go, so then you follow the Heker Tzir. So that indicates to them that you're not just following the Heker Tzir, you're trying to figure out which way to go first, which is more than just going to be from outside to inside, meaning it seems like Rashi is going to, you're not going to have a suffix about that. Rather, there's some kind of question where you could decipher in another way than Heker Tzir, but ultimately you should follow Heker Tzir if you can't decipher it that way. That's the way he quotes the Shach and that's what Rav Moshe says with regards to moving Heker Tzir to the bottom of the list, being the tiebreaker. But then Rav Moshe continues on and says, On the top of the left column, the afim rov tashmishin yuba chutzir, the afim mekomas hachamim shagam yishenim berov halelos bechutzir, uva abayis mishtamshim rak binyanei hatsena sheiyev shalas sosim bechutzir vemegashamim shenami havi kfiyas hamezuzah bimin hachnisa mechutzir labayis. He says even though the chutzir might be the courtyard might be in more use than the house itself, says Rav Moshe, it's always going to be from the chutzir, from the courtyard into the house. Shekamokain. Who be pischa shebein cheder lecheder shetzarich likvo be yamin derov haknisos l'sham v'lo liyamin pesach haknisos lecheder shemishtamshin bo yosir. And he says it's the same thing in general, right? Even inside as well, you follow the flow of traffic rather than whichever room is going to be used more. He says kaven shegam psachim shebefnim, even doors on the inside habayis nami him bechlali hakrad derech biyascha, that you're going to follow the ways that you go. V'lo azlin abasar chashivas, you don't follow which room is more important shemishtamshin bo yosir. Rather, you follow the flow of traffic. So that's, and he says, "Vehu nami delokas over hadas kedoshim." Das kedoshim seems to be on the other side. Okay, but then he continues on the next paragraph. He says, "Vichlal." By the way, he says, "Lo muvan minolei lahadas kedoshim shechashivus habayis v'cheder shayach lachriv b'tvius mezuzah." By the way, I'm not even sure where he got that from at all. This whole idea that the importance of the room should have any role in Hilchus Mezuzah. Rather, Rav Moshe says the whole thing has to just do with the flow of traffic, and this whole, and he essentially is throwing out the chashivus of the room, the importance of the room. Rav Moshe shrugs and says, "Ah, I don't really see why that should really have much of a role." Come to page number. Go on to the next page, by the way. On page 4, right? So in the end of that section, he says, "V'alchein l'dina k'shaleika l'meida." If you don't have a way of knowing, "Lishlitlos sheberov haknisios hu la'cheder ha'ikari hatashmishim sham." He says, "Look, if you don't know, so then you could say, well, probably most of my entrances would go to that main room." V'chashiyadu she'af she'ikat hashmishim hu b'cheder ha'tzafoni mikol makom rov knisios hu la'cheder ha'dromi. He says, "But if you know that even though your main usage is in the north room, but most of your entrances are to the south room, so I'll click for mezuzah be min haknisos la'cheder ha'dromi." Kigidul Hakadosh, Kigidule Hakdosh, right? That you're gonna put it from the room that is, you're gonna follow the flow of traffic, even if that front room is the room that gets used the most. So that's where Rav Moshe follows that straight up. It sounds like even against Heker Tzir, and he sounds like he would put Heker Tzir. That's the way the Agra Ba'alecha reads him, that he would put Heker Tzir as number 4 and importance of room. Number 5 as like the final tiebreaker. And then he said, and that period. So that's that. One more thing to point out here, and that is, hey, which caught my eye here, that Rav Moshe also says, he says, what about the following scenario? He says, hey, let's just read the title. You have two entrances to the house, Mishus Rabim. Achas Knisa Rishis Shemishtamshin Ba Rak Bishabasus V'yom Tovim. One is your front door, but you only use your front door on Shabbos and Yontif. But then, during the week, you park in the garage, and you come in through the side door. So, what's considered your main door, and how do you define which is your main entrance? So, Rav Moshe says, simple. You follow whichever one you use more often. And the one you use more often, right, the last time I checked, there's 6 weekdays and 1 Shabbos day. So that's going to be considered your main entrance. So you see the underlined part there at the bottom right. It's about thy rov haknisio shein b'mei achol. Most of your entrances are during the week. Heim derech pesach hasheni la'abayis. V'tzarech likvom mezuzah shebechol cheder v'cheder b'tzad yimini mechnisa de pesach sheyesh mehapruzder l'chol cheder v'cheder. And that's going to be the way you're going to figure out the flow of traffic throughout the rest of the house. V'chein b'psachim sheyesh mecheder l'cheder tzarech likvom l'fi haknisa v'cheshabayim meharachov derech pesach hasheni. Shehu l'chnisios d'chol yom aval b'pesach sheyesh Yeah, right. This is the example of the chashuv room. So he says, so then what about if you have a chashuv room by the front door, an important room by the front door? So Rav Moshe says, it depends. If that room is only used during the week, is only used on Shabbos, so then the room is only used on Shabbos. So then the way you get to that room is going to be from the main door into that room. So you put the mezuzah from the main door into that room, because the only time you really use that room is when you're also using the main door. But he says that if that room is also used during the week, so then the main entrance is going could potentially be from a different door, in which case the mezuzah may be placed on a different door. That's the psak of Rav Moshe. That's why in Hilchos Mezuzah, as I think the mezuzah doctor said to me once, there's no such thing as a front door. We don't define anything as the front door. Everything is defined as the door that you normally enter. And you just add in that could change over time, as I think we spoke about last week, right? If it follows according to the Agur Balacha, you take all the people in the house and you add them together in terms of their entrances. So if during the week the mother parks the minivan with all the kids in the driveway and uses the side door or the garage door to get in the house, and the husband is the only one using the front door because he has to park on the street, right? So then that means most of the entrances are coming in from the back and being defined by the way the wife and kids use it. However, if the kids all then move out of the house and then becomes more of a 50-50 thing, so it could be that some of the mezuzah spots should then be switched, because there perhaps is a new flow of traffic, or not necessarily a new flow of traffic, but the amount of traffic has then been altered in terms of doorways. Okay, so I think that gets us to the end of the hierarchy of which direction the mezuzah goes in. Any questions, comments, observations on that, or specific cases to that are like, hey, why is the mezuzah there? Or not?
The Lubavitch would put the mezuzah on the opposite side for our entrances.
Well, not the entrance to the shul, not necessarily, not the entrance to the building. I mean, they still agree that that the mezuzah should go on the right side from outside a building to inside a building, right?
Okay, the building's not focused on.
Right, so the door to the parking lot for our main shul, they would agree that the mezuzah should be on the right side from the parking lot into the shul, even though the door opens outwards, right? But they would switch the mezuzahs leaving the shul, those two other mezuzahs. Right, I've actually wondered myself if now, because we've been davening in the main shul so much, maybe that means potentially we would switch the mezuzahs on the door to the men's section, for example, because most people probably come in through the parking lot door now, and then the flow of traffic then leads them into the lobby, right? So maybe we should switch that mezuzah. So I have. I don't think so. First of all, because that would be kind of depressing. But besides that, I think the if you would add up the amount of usage that it gets on Shabbos versus during the week, and also during the week, probably 2/3 of the people that walk into shul never actually walk through those doors anyways. What's the only reason they walk through those doors is to use the restroom. So most people are not. They're just walking into the shul and staying there. So that being the case, so the mezuzah, I think, is still in the correct place on those on that door. Okay? All right. Any other... Okay, I'm just trying to think if there's any other interesting ones to speak about. But no. All right. Anyways, okay. Oh, hi, Michael. Okay, so you can move to all right. So the next topic. So let's go to page 5, I believe, in the source sheet. So attaching the mezuzah. Right? I've talked about putting the mezuzah up all the time. So how does it need to be attached? So it's pretty simple. Yeah, page 5 here. Oh, wait, we're out of order. Sorry, page 6. Page 6 should come before page 5. So you see the tour there says in the middle, the Ketzad Kova Yasmer Osa B'Masmeirim B'Mezuzos HaPesach. So the tour says, so how do you affix the mezuzah? So you nail it in with nails to the doorway, HaPesach, O Yachpor B'Chafirus V'Ikveno Ba. Or you dig into it a little bit and you put the mezuzah there, meaning you could dig into the doorpost and put the mezuzah in that slot. He says, Uvach lo yamik lachpor tefach ba'omek ha-mezuzah. As long as you don't push in more than a tefach into the depth of the doorpost, shim amik la tefach tzulabas. If you go further than a tefach in, it's then going to be puzzle. Fine. So that's one halacha. And then he adds in, Tala b'mekel b'mekom v'lo kava psula. He says, oh, and by the way, if you just sort of leave it there, and you don't actually attach it, so that's going to be pasul, meaning the mezuzah actually has to be attached to the doorpost. So what's interesting is, by the way, if you look at the Beis Yosef says, oh, this is being quoted from a memra in Hakomets. We've turned to that daf many, many times already. Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. But what's interesting there is that the Gemara never actually says anything about a nail, right? that halacha is not actually there. The only halacha that it says there is about, it says that you need to be koveya it, and you can dig in as long as it doesn't go more than a tefach in. But it doesn't actually say that the idea of using a nail is not actually mentioned in the Gemara. So is there any issue potentially with using glue? So the Shulchan Aruch Beis Yosef doesn't seem to make any distinction. So you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch itself, I think that's on page... where did I put that in? The next page. Okay, so the next page, Reish Pei Tez Dalid, so it says, Ketzad Kova, how do you put on the mezuzah? Yim Serena B'Masmeir, nail it in with nails, B'Mezuzos HaPesach, into the doorway. Oh, Yachpor Ba'Tfira V'Yikvena Ba, or Yachpor Ba'Chafira, or you could dig a furrow into the doorpost and put it there. V'lo Yamik Lachpor Tefach Ba'Omek She'im Asakem Su'a, but don't put it in further than a tefach, because if you do so then you've ended up passeling it. So the right. So he doesn't say anything about double sided tape. So the Agur Ba'alecha, I didn't look up the sources. Is there any reason not to specifically use a nail as opposed to using tape? So if we take a look. So go to page 9. We'll skip page 8 for now and go to page 9. So on page 9, there he talks about tape and glue. So, hey, he says, Chibur b'deva karehu k'kvias b'masir. So right out he says, the Agur Ba'alecha says, sticking on with glue or tape, that's like putting on with nails. Veneer sha'afim medevek enu machzik zman rav. Even if it's not going to hold it up for very long, you're still going to be yotze. El shi'akbid l'chadish sadevek kodem she'izbayish. But you should renew it before it gets all dried out and doesn't become usable anymore. So is there even a discussion about this? So if you look at footnote Yud Aleph, so he points out that there is a bit of a discussion about this. If you go to Yud Aleph, footnote on the bottom right, Yud Aleph, he says, Kasuf hanimuke Yosef. In Bava Metzia, he says, Yachpor es hakana bin esarim, o besid. It says you should put on the reed, meaning the mezuzah's in a reed. We talked about that, the mezuzah case. So you should use nails or cement. That's what Nemuke Yossi says. V'davak harei haveihu kesid. And he says, and davak, and therefore glue, is going to be considered like sid. Sid is cement. So that's why the Agur Ba'alecha says, I don't know, open shut case, right? We have a Beferish Rishon, we have the Nemuke Yosef that says that nails is the same as cement. He says, however, the Minchas Yitzchak says, Dan Lifsol Davak, he's actually not so thrilled. V'nivchak demashakasa Nemuke Yosef sid, hainu sheyichpor al gabei hasid shel kosel. He says, that's not what the Nemuke Yosef meant. The Nemuke Yosef actually meant putting it on the sid of the wall, of the wall, but not necessarily to fix it that way. He says, I see dvarm dechukim dim kain havale kosav alo sid. That would have been the wall. It wouldn't be called sid. He says, oh, dechol davar yichanu rak im hagirsa bin esarim, right? Ach beritva, hagirsa heim masmerim, v'chein hakosav b'sefer hazichronos. So I'm not sure what he's referring to as sefer hazichronos. So Agur Ba'alecha is not really interested in that. So I don't think there's any issue there. Now, he's even more makel with regards to the Agur Ba'alecha is like, yeah, and it doesn't even have to stay up so long. So this question comes up pretty, I say all the time, but it has come up, the issue of like a person who needs to get their mezuzahs up, but they don't have all their cases yet. So they moved into the house and they just want to put their mezuzahs up, and either they don't have time or they just don't have the cases yet. So is there anything wrong with just sticking the scrolls up and using painter's tape? So Salar Alecha, for sure not. He does it in mind. But even others, the painter's tape does stay out. I mean, I think the chiddush of painter's tape is that it comes off without leaving any residue, right? That's why painter's tape is a good thing. I think if you leave it on for 2 weeks or something, so then they don't guarantee that no residue will be left or that it won't pull off anything with it. But it's not like it becomes weaker after 2 weeks. What?
Left it on for years and it
was
still on.
Right. It's not that it becomes weaker after 2 weeks, it becomes stronger after 2 weeks. Sorry, that's the...
Yeah,
right, so I don't think there's any... So I don't think there's any issue with that. There was, actually, Rena Rosner has a... I tried looking in my phone to find it when I checked their mezuzahs a few years ago. So she had... Her mezuzah she had made... I thought this is pretty cool. I wondered a little if it was kosher, and I sent it. Moshe said it was fine, but she—it was like a crochet thing, like a sewn thing, where it essentially hung on the door by a nail that was holding this net up. Right, the mezuzah was in this net, so for lack of a better term, and that's how it was attached to the door. It wasn't like a case that is like stuck on there, rather sort of like hanging on a hook, so to speak. So Moshe thought that's totally okay. In the Agarwal Lech, he goes into some other details about you know, sorts of interest, like if it sits on a...
At one point it's hanging, then it's probably not going to be diagonal.
No. It was designed to hang in a diagonal. We'll get the diagonals next week's year. But it was designed to hang in a diagonal. There were two nails, and it was like hanging down from the two of them.
That's true. Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty original, but and it seemed like that was fine. So yeah, there's really not that much to talk about with regards to this. There is, however, a Piskei Tshuva here. So the Piskei Tshuva on that page says the following, Piskei Tshuva, hey.
Where are you now?
So back to the page of Shulchan Aruch, which I think is page 6.
Page 7, yeah.
So page 7, Piskei Tshuva, hey. So you could all blow it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. So there, beautiful. So, yeah. Better to look at the screen than the sefer itself. So he says, you dig a hole in it. It says, I am the sefer Yad HaKtana. I'm not sure what the Yad HaKtana is. I looked it up today. It is some kind of going through all the mitzvos. It is available on Hebrew books, but I tried finding it. I couldn't find it. It was just too hard to find the spot. But he says, Mihilchos mezuzah oschafei. Shechasev dahainu be'inyin sheteha mezuzah niris v'harich. He says, yeah, you could dig it into the wall so long as you could still see the mezuzah. He says, at binyan mashakasav b'gemara, o shetala leha matzvan, or that there is some kind, sorry, o shetala le mi, what, mi lavan, mi labin. There's some kind of thing that's recognizable there. V'hala dezeh baru ledin dechashe'in ha mezuzah niris. He says, let's say you do it in a way that the mezuzah is not even visible anymore, that you just or put in the wall, and then you cover it up. The gam ein heker, there's nothing recognizing that the mezuzah is there. The zecher la klal, and there's nothing. The vaday ein yotzei yidecho vasa mezuzah klal. Says the Yad HaKtana, you're certainly not yotzei mezuzah at all. V'lachim ha-shenogin ha-hamon likdoach b'mezuzah ha-pesach, u'manichin shem ha-mezuzah, that the people that are noeg to dig into the doorpost and put the mezuzah there, v'hi ena niris v'nikar klal, and you can't recognize it at all, enam yotzei mezuzah, you're not yotzei, ashehi muneches b'mekoma ha-roi, even though it's in the right place. V'chehilchasa, and halachically, v'yesh la'asos eza simino heker b'chol ha-pesach al ha-makom ha-nikadeach v'day b'kach. And rather, you need to put some kind of marking in that spot, and that would be sufficient, just as long as you know that the mezuzah is there. So I almost got the impression, it's a little hard to imagine, like, what exactly is, well, you're not yotzei at all. So I'm feeling like he gave it away a little bit when he said, as people are noheg b'zman hazeh. I mean, he's not happy with the fact that people would hide their mezuzahs in that way, and therefore he says, you're not yotzei at all. But that is what he says. I'm not sure that can't think of too many scenarios where that has come up, but the But here in the Agur Bo'alecha, he does talk about what about if you're nervous about people stealing it, right? He says in Tesvav, right? He says on top of the line, he says Achim Yishka Shashli. First, he says Afshar Rishai Latu B'Sam Mezuzah Legamrei. If you're Mishain Lachzus at Pesach Hanekev, Achshlo Yia Nikar Sheisha Mezuzah. Right? There are those who say, meaning this Yad Haktana, that you shouldn't cover it up in a way that it won't be recognized at all. However, if there's a concern about robbers, Yikva Ba'Ofen Shlo Yia Nikar Sheisha Mezuzah. Then maybe you could put it up in a way that people won't know that there's a mezuzah, v'nir sheyivarech. He says, and I think that you would make a bracha in that scenario. So if you take a look here in Lamed Beis, footnote Lamed Beis, so he quotes from the Arak Tana, ha'atik es divri atash, v'makum sheyish genovim, yichse ba'ofen, shlo yenikr sheyisham mezuzah. He says, first of all, the Arak Tana himself quotes from the Taz and that idea that you should put up in a way that it won't be noticed. And he concludes saying, yeah, that's probably better than not doing the mitzvah at all. So even though he said puzzle earlier on, yeah, but you know, shasavchak, you have the right to rely on it and say that it's okay. But then he also adds on here towards the bottom left, he says, Amla mehashak sas mashma. He says the shach earlier on sounds a little bit by the yad haktana. Why? That he says you're not going to be yotze if you put it up in a way that's not recognizable. Shim lo kein, if not so, lama pater es beis hamaziga mi mezuzah. He says, why would you otherwise exempt I'm forgetting what a beis hamaziga was. It says, why would you exempt a house? I'm not sure what the Beis HaMezuzah exactly was, but a house, there are a couple cases that we exempted a place from a mezuzah because we were concerned that the goyim would take it away or the goyim wouldn't like it or they would desecrate or something like that. So says the Shach, why should you be exempt just because a goy is going to take it away? Right? So what do you mean? Put it up. Ba'ofen shelo tiyeh nikaris in a way that it won't be noticeable, as the Taz said. Afim zeh karuch ve'hotzas mamun, even if it takes you a little bit of money to be able to do so. V'yesh ladash hayu haksalim dakim v'lo haya efsharos lachuk b'hem. He says, well, maybe the walls were very thin and you can't do that. Oh, shiftei emeziga hayu chakurim me'agayim v'lo nitnu reshus lachuk v'soch mezuzah pesim. You don't have permission to do it. El rakul kovim v'lchutz ha'idim espirim, only to put on the outside, etc. So he said, I mean, Maybe it's not the case. Maybe it's not so easy to be able to do that. So he says the shach that doesn't even mention it. So maybe that indicates that he also holds you not yotze. But he says it could be that that's not really the case. I would add as well, I'm not sure we really want a situation where there are mezuzahs hidden in all these doorposts all over the place and like you totally forget about it. I mean, the Arak Tana was concerned about forgetting about it and that you're not going to see it coming in. That was his concern, you know, whatever. But I think in general, like if we're going to tell all college students in their dorm rooms to dig into, even if it was possible, to dig into the walls and stick your mezuzah there and cover it up in a way that it's not going to be seen, like, how many of them are going to be left in that door after they leave? You know, like it's just, I'm not sure it's a great idea to just be leaving mezuzahs in hidden spots all over the place. Okay, one more. Yeah. Maybe Hay will do quickly. Just in the Shulchan Aruch itself, he says, "Kava b'mezuzah ha-pesach ba'oda tlusha ba'achar kach chavra le-pesach psula." He says you should attach the mezuzah of the door attach it to the mezuzahs of the door ba'oda tlusha while the doorpost is not yet connected yet, and then you put the doorpost on, so that's going to be pasul. Right, so if you put the mezuzah, if you pre-put the mezuzah on the doorpost and then you attach the doorpost, so that's a problem of tasev lo mina asoy. This came up in the past. We already discussed this, and I have to check the tapes on it. But that's the idea of tasev lo mina asoy. Things have to be actively done as opposed to passively done. And the concern is that would be an example of it being passively done. I just wanted to. Yeah, so it's a little hard to figure out. Yeah, that's what it sounds. I mean, the simple explanation of what they're talking about is, yeah, that you the doorway was made, and then you put a door post up, right? So you pre-attach the mezuzah to the doorpost, and then you put the door post up. The only problem is, at what point does it stop being a mezuzah case, right? Meaning if we... there might be some details. I'm not sure it really comes up, because you can just take it down and put it up again. But, if you take... there is a style of mezuzah case where there's a tube, and there's like a flat back, and there's a tube, and you can actually it's not a see-through case. It's a tube that there's sort of space between the tube and the doorpost, right? And there's right. I probably have some downstairs. So if that's the case, are you putting the doorpost on because there's a flat part of the mezuzah case that doesn't have the mezuzah touching it? It's a little hard to say that. I'm not sure at what point does it stop being the doorpost and start being the mezuzah case. I don't know how you would make that distinction, but I'm not sure it really comes up that often. I did want to show, took a look in Hilcho in Rav Chaim Kanievsky's Sefer on mezuzah. So he does have a little bit of what to say with regards to the masmerim. So on the last page here, so he, I meant to mention this on Shabbos when he talked about it, but just forgot. One of the things that Rav Chaim did, and actually I saw a fascinating thing, somebody posted on Facebook, but I'll say in a second, that he Rav Chaim wrote on all areas of Torah. He wrote an entire sefer on Egla Rufa. Right, these sort of far-fetched areas of halacha that people don't really touch, as well as sort of svarim that are out there that people sort of ignored. So there is a brisa about Hilchos Mezuzah. So he wrote on that brisa. He gave a commentary on that brisa. That was some of the svarim that Rav Chaim Kanievsky wrote. The story goes, although I heard years ago, though in this, didn't hear it recently, and I probably would have. Right, what is known is that Rav Chaim would learn Kol HaTorah Kula every year. That he had a Seder Limud that included Kol HaTorah Kula for him included Shas Bavli, Shas Yerushalmi, Shulchan Aruch, Rambam, Mishneh Berurah, Zohar, and Kol Kisvei, Ramchal, and Medrash. Medrash. And he actually, you could find it on Hebrew books, is actually his Seder. Somebody somebody wrote a sefer about how Rav Chaim Kanievsky managed to finish Kol Torah Kula every year. But somebody, the story goes that, they asked him, then what about a leap year? Meaning, if you could finish Kol Torah Kula in 12 months, so then what do you do when there's a 13th month to the year? To which he said, those are the years that I write Svarim. not sure how you, whatever, they don't tell a story about me. But anyways, so in this sefer on mezuzah, so he included the following with regards to the nails. So if you see, right, so he actually goes through Hilchos Mezuzah twice in the sefer. One is according to a brisa of laws of mezuzah that's found in the back, I think, Maseches Menachos. And then he also goes through the Shulchan Aruch, the Sifim on Shulchan Aruch, and sort of gives a running commentary and adds ha'aros along the way. So here's the ha'ara of what we did tonight. Yim Serena b'masmerim. So here's the sefer, by the way. Okay, so Yim Serena b'masmerim. So in the middle of that page, so he says va'ayin b'sefer ma'orer yishenim shekasav. I'm not sure what that word is. Oh, Yizahir, good, okay. That you should be very careful that you don't put a nail through the mezuzah itself, right? That's not a good idea. Besides, I think it might be clearer in the sefer itself. Let me just find the... Yeah. Right. So don't do that. Shemilvad, besides the davar... The milvad bizayon agadol, the milvad hirim davar kadosh karov, that you're sort of making a hole in the davar kadosh, karov od shetifsal al yedeze. You also might be passeling it. Vegam bahanayir o bahanartek ein lahadek ein lahadka harbe ki karov hu shetiskalkil al yedeze. He says, and even with the wrapping, you should be careful not to make it too sticky because that might come to destroy the mezuzah, the tifsel, and you'll passel it. So that's that's just an itza so far. But he says, v'imatza es ha-mezuzah. But this actually comes up. This actually happened to one of my mezuzahs. He says, v'imatza es ha-mezuzah devuka. If you find a mezuzah that is stuck, so this happens sometimes if it's very dry, so the mezuzah could actually get burnt in the case. or if the case is in too warm a place. So my mezuzah that was at our front door in Phoenix, so for a while I couldn't unscrew the thing, so I never put it up. And finally I eventually was able to unscrew the case and pull out the mezuzah, and the mezuzah had gotten pretty singed at the bottom. And so, and you open it up, so it like cracks, and it's very hard to keep kosher to when to open it up. I mean, probably, it might still be kosher while bent, but he says, Sarach Lios, matun b'psicha shelo tifsal v'shelo yimchuk es hashemos. He says, and when you want to open it up, you have to be very careful that you don't passel or erase the letters, chas v'shalom. He says, v'chol zeh shehi devuka psula. And then he adds in, and so long as it's stuck closed in a way that you can't open it, he says, that's also a psul. Ki karov hu sheniskalkala. Plus, A, it's close to being destroyed. So A, number one, he says, it's a problem. Meaning, if you can't open the mezuzah, so because the mezuzah itself got corrupted, not corrupted, that's the best term, but warped in some way, such that it's either too hard or too soft or too wet or too this or too that, such that you can't open it anymore. He says, probably it's puzzle anyways. And this also happens, by the letters sometimes will go onto the back of the mezuzah if it is too much moisture. I've seen that also. He says, Vigam also, yesh lomar delo mikrei ksav. Potentially, maybe it's not called writing, im ein roi lefoscha ulikrospa. If you're not able to open it and read it. Meaning, not just is it probably you've passed the letters, but he said it might be a psul in the mezuzah itself if it can't be opened. Lachin im hi devuka harbi, if it's very stuck, right? Afilu rak bekatsa echad, even only on one side, meaning the bottom of the mezuzah, not the top of the mezuzah, ein latakan of etzarech lignoza. He said, I think that's lignoza. Ligonza. Ligonza, right. So there is no way of fixing that. And you would have to put it in Geniza, meaning you would have to consider it to be a pasul mezuzah. So that's an interesting psak. Number one, right, not nailing through the thing itself, so that we've seen elsewhere. It adds in, but if you come to the point that you're not able to open it, so besides the metzias of it being a problem, that there probably is a psul in the letters, besides that there also is, he suggests it might even be pasul inherently, because if a mezuzah has to be written, and if you can't read that which is written, because you can't even open the mezuzah, he suggests maybe that itself would be enough to make it a psul. So, psak from Rav Chaim with regards to some of the issues that we covered tonight. Okay?
This reminded me of something I read. I found it while you were talking, that some of the scrolls they found by En Gedi were so dry that they couldn't open it. And they did a scan of the rolled parchment with, you know, like a CT, an MRI technology, and the computer was able to see where the ink was in the rolled parchment and then unroll it virtually.
Uh-huh.
Although once it was unrolled virtually, you could see that.
Would that make the mezuzah kosher?
Right. Is that considered reading, according to Rav Chaim? Would Rav Chaim call that reading? I'm not sure. That's a good question. Wish I could ask him. But the other part of that is, and I've seen it sometimes, the letters went off the front and went on to the back, meaning a mezuzah is rolled. So every mezuzah is facing the back of, every letter is facing the back of the parchment. So it could be the letter is there, but perhaps not connected to the parchment anymore. That does happen sometimes. So I'm not sure it's a guarantee that it's kosher. It could be that it's there's a little trickery going on there. But okay, that's a good knowledge. The hope is that when those mezuzahs were used, 3,000 years ago by David HaMelech, you were able to open it up. That's the assumption.
Right. I mean, after 120 degrees for a few thousand years,
right, right. It might have been damage over time. Right, of course.
That's how they were preserved. It was a very dry climate. Many of those.
Right. Yes. Of course, when David HaMelech was hiding from Sheol in Ein Gedi, he probably did not want to have the mezuzah on the front of the cave, because right. So he that sugya about digging it into the cave, into the wall of the doorway, that might have been applicable to David HaMelech. He probably. Right.
If somebody lived in a cave as their permanent dwelling, it doesn't have any doors, right?
Well, I don't know, the cave door, does that qualify as a door? So probably yes, probably assuming there is a Tzuras HaPesach, it probably would be, yeah, I would think. Yeah, right, so is it possible that Rav Shimon bar Yochai didn't have a mezuzah? Like, how could that be? Right. He also wore a strimal every Shabbos there. Plus, is it possible that Shimon bar Yochai didn't wear a strimal? All right. Okay. Have a good evening. We'll continue. Okay. Right.